This is a podcast for Radio Sangam, the number one followed Asian community radio station in the UK.
Sangam on 107.9 FM. It's about 9:15 in the morning, and I am absolutely, absolutely tired. And I'll tell you why I'm tired, because Jannath just did a bad one on me. She goes, let's swap shows. And I didn't leave till 2 in the morning because we had some big meeting going on last night. And then Jannath says, you know what? Why don't you do the 9 o'clock till 12 o'clock show and I'll do the breakfast? Because I would have stayed up all night and just done breakfast and gone to sleep. But that didn't quite work out. However, I'm really excited. Really excited to be here because we've got Mubeen Azhar over from BBC Asian Network. But he's not here because of BBC Asian Network. He's here because he grew up in Huddersfield. And we're going to have a great conversation with him about what Huddersfield was like 20 million years ago. You're not that old, really, are you?
It wasn't that long ago, not quite 20 million years ago, but it was a while. It has been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you don't know Mubeen, if you haven't seen him, I'm sure you have, a lovely looking lad, quite young, virile, not, you know, unlike me.
Not that young anymore, but virile, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So he's back in Huddersfield, connecting back with his roots. He's still got family here in Huddersfield. But one of the things that we want to talk about is how Huddersfield has changed over time, over the decades, and much more recently over the last couple of years, really, because we're based in Birkby here. And for those of you that know about Radio Sangam, and many of you do, Birkby's been going through some difficult periods of time in the last few months. We've had, sadly, a lot of violence taking place in Birkby. There was a knife crime only a couple of weeks ago. There's a shooting on a regular basis. But, however, we'll come on to that. But, first of all, I think we'll speak with the Mubeen and welcome him officially. Welcome.
Guess it. It's really nice to be here. I feel like I'm on my own home turf, my old patch. Because I used to live around the corner from your studio. So I grew up like 2 streets away from here, or 1 street away from here, actually. And I used to walk down this road on the way back from my junior school, which is Birkby Junior School.
Birkby Juniors, yeah. Just being renovated, actually.
So, I've seen it. So I really appreciate you giving me the time. And it's nice to be back in Huddersfield for a little bit.
Yeah. So how long ago was it that you left Huddersfield?
So I left. I haven't properly lived in Huddersfield for, I'd say, I mean, over 20 years. I pretty much left when I was 18.
Right.
For uni. I grew up in Birkby, so on Blacker Road, which you must know really well, around the corner from here. And my parents had a shop, actually. So we lived just behind the shop. And a lot of Desis I know have shops, so I'm sure you can relate to this.
We
had a little bell in the shop, so if a customer came in, it'd go bing.
Yeah,
and then we'd
You'd
run
walk in.
In
through the back.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Exactly. So we'd do that. So I grew up behind the shop, and Birkby was back then, and I know it is now as well. It was very much kind of the centre of the Pakistani community, and I think because my parents knew everyone, and then my dad. When they shut the shop a few years later. They had it for 26 years. But then my dad went on to work on the buses. So he knew everyone on the buses, all the uncles. And so through that, I think my family kind of knew everyone. And now I still come back. I come back often. But I live in London. So you know what it's like when you come up. It's normally I arrive on a Friday, see family. I've got loads of family here. 6 nephews, you know, brother-in-laws and so forth. And then I leave on a Sunday. So this is the first time I've really been back and really been living here. And I've seen a bit of a change, really.
Yeah. So what has been the most significant change that you've come across from your memories?
Yeah. So I would say it's important that I qualify this, that I love Huddersfield. I really, really love Huddersfield. And I feel very much at home here. Having said that, I really feel, and one of the reasons I came, the big reason I came back really was to try to understand and try to explore what is going on in terms of this spike in violence. And that is something that I've really been struck by. So I really want to understand what is going on in places like Birkby, where at the moment, it seems since I've been back here for a few weeks now, for a few months actually. Since I've been back, I would say every week or every couple of weeks, there seems to be a shooting, a stabbing, an incident And what I've been trying to do is follow that and cover that and see what is going on.
Yeah, which is unusual, to be honest, for Huddersfield and for Birkby. But it's much more of a recent occurrence, I would say, a couple of years. With sort of your research, with you going out and about, meeting people, talking to people, and if you've got an opinion out there, do give us a call and let us know what you think has changed in Huddersfield. 01484817705. Of course, you can WhatsApp us as well on 07444202155 and let us know what your thoughts are on why Birkby, or, well, Huddersfield in general, not just Birkby, has changed over the years, possibly the last couple of years. What's going on in your opinion? If you've lived here for a long time, if you arrived in the 60s, what's been the change over the decades? You know, it'll be really interesting to find out your opinions as well. Coming back to your journey and the last few weeks that you've been here, what is it? Why do you think there's been this sudden change?
So I think this is exactly what I'm trying to answer. So I haven't got one solid answer to why. It's happened, and that's really why I want to hear from people. I want to know what people think about that. I do think, in terms of a lot of the conversations that I've had, you know, I'll be really, really frank with you. It seems that there's quite a lot of people that will have conversations with me that are different if I've got a camera crew with me, because I'm making a documentary, I'm making a series here right now, and those conversations seem to be different if I've got a camera crew with me. And if I don't have a camera crew with me. And
is, so is it easier if there's a camera crew, or do people
well,
hold
back? Well, let me
back?
Be more specific. It's not really about easier or harder. It's more about people will be more open about their theories if they feel it. Nothing's ever going to come back to them. So they'll say, oh, don't quote me on this, but, you know, this is what's really happening. Yeah? It's a bit of this and a bit of that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel there's people are frightened to talk?
I think there's really a tangible level of fear, actually. I think there is a level of fear.
Of what?
So I think maybe it's about speaking out. I think it's about pointing fingers. So a lot of people have said to me, this is just a conversation I've had. They've said a lot of this stuff is drug-related. So they've said, yeah, it's to do with drugs, and it's to do with gangs, and it's to do with dealers. And the very same people will then go on to say, well, you know, don't quote me. But having said that, there are lots of people who are willing to speak out and be open. And my perspective, certainly, and one of the reasons I'm really pleased to be here, and one of the reasons I really want to hear from your listeners, is I think nothing shifts and nothing changes unless you're willing to have conversations. And sometimes those conversations are uncomfortable.
Yeah. And usually the most fruitful of conversations are challenging and uncomfortable, but if we don't challenge what's going on, then we're never going to come to the nub of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So how long is it in reality since you've come back?
So I mean even when I don't live here, I come back for a weekend,
right?
But I haven't lived here for years.
And is there a difference in the community? Do you think people have changed?
So I think Birkby's changed a bit in the sense that it's probably kind of more diverse than it used to be, because now there seems to be like an Arab community. I bumped into Yemenis, I bumped into Polish people. Back when I lived here, it was mainly overwhelmingly Pakistani and white, and there was a few Afro-Caribbean people, but it wasn't as diverse. So it's probably a bit more diverse, but I'm not sure if there's that same sense of... You can call it community, or you could call it everyone being in each other's business. I don't know what you want to call it, but certainly when I lived on Blacker Road, everyone
knew everything about everyone. So if you did something, you know, out there that you didn't want your parents to know about, guaranteed 100% it was coming back.
Do you know what I mean? And I had no chance because my dad worked on the buses.
Shall I tell you something?
So, yeah, please do.
I was in my teen years, I took this lovely girl. You know, I was young, naive. Vulnerable, you know. I took this young girl to Belgium with me for a weekend, and guess what? Somebody from Huddersfield saw me in Belgium.
In Belgium. There you go. Word gets round. Just
no
like
escape.
That. Word gets round. Exactly.
Yeah. Before I got back home
from Belgium, the information was already sat there on the table.
There are eyes. There are eyes everywhere in Burtby. Yeah, there really are. But I mean, do you live in Huddersfield?
I don't live in Huddersfield, but I did go to college in Huddersfield in my teen years. But I don't live too far, about 9 miles away.
Okay, so you went to college here, so you know it well. What do you think there's been a shift, and what do you think that's about?
I think there has been a shift. I think Huddersfield used to be, and still is to a large extent, a very communal sort of town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a large town. The university has grown significantly, so there's been a huge influx of students from all over the world, which has been significant for Huddersfield, because lots of there's been a cultural shift in Huddersfield because of the student population, I think. However, credit where credit is due. When we had the northern unrest and the riots and the burnings of the BMW garages, mm-hmm. in Bradford and Oldham and Manchester, and people were boarding up shops, Huddersfield was one of those places that didn't board up shops,
mm-hmm.
and nothing happened here, and nobody came here. And Huddersfield is quite well known for different faith communities to work together, to talk to each other, to go to each other's events.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very large Afro-Caribbean community in, let's say, Fartown, gets on really well with the large Asian community in Thornton Lodge and Birkby. And really, there are those tensions. I mean, there'll be the odd pockets of something happening here and there, but it's not group related or gang related or community related or based on race or any of the prejudices such as that. But I think things have changed now, and I think what's happening is more businesses are coming into Huddersfield,
mm-hmm.
Because Huddersfield is becoming much more an affluent town because of university, I believe. And as those businesses are coming in, they're bringing more people into the town who are maybe shifting from the larger neighbouring cities and saying, well, let's have a look at opportunities here in Huddersfield. And I'm talking about people who have maybe not a very good character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're looking for other opportunities here. So some of it may be homegrown, probably is, to be honest.
What do you mean by not of good character?
Well, maybe it's people that are looking for opportunities for, you know, crime, drugs, looking for opportunities to make money in you know, non-legitimate ways,
mm-hmm.
Because this is, you know, fresh ground for them, I suppose. But I think that is very destructive to the community as a whole, very destructive to the town, mm-hmm. as a whole as well. And Huddersfield was quite well known, and Kirklees as a local authority, for its community cohesion in those days, those sorts of projects. It was kind of at the forefront of anti-bullying, of non-violence, of community cohesion, of race relations. Councils have had to become more frugal, and there's been cutbacks. I think some of those services have gone, and whilst those services have gone, I think some of those mechanisms have gone, those safety nets have gone, those opportunities for different groups to meet together. I can't think of where there's a youth club in Huddersfield. I mean, there probably are some, but I can't think of one nearby, maybe. There's probably less for young people to do, mm-hmm. like there is everywhere, to be honest. But because Huddersfield had this quite close, tight-knit community, when things happen, it's probably a bigger jolt.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bigger shock to Huddersfield than maybe, let's say, Bradford, where things might happen more often, but they don't make headline news as much because it's almost become part of the norm.
Right.
Whereas in Huddersfield, it isn't the norm or wasn't the norm.
Right.
You know,
it's really it's fascinating to me because there was a bit of research that was done, and it was collating violent crime nationally.
Yeah,
and one of these reports suggested that West Yorkshire, broadly, so even outside of Huddersfield, but West Yorkshire is now the most dangerous place to live in Britain.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we talking about outside London or including London?
Including London.
Wow.
So if you're looking at per capita,
yeah,
then there's more violent crime per head, you could say, in West Yorkshire than there is even in London. And I think certainly being someone that is, like, I would, you know, I've lived in London for a long time now, so I would count myself as a Londoner. That really, really surprised me. And so I'm interested in what you're saying about, you know, it's, and I've heard this a lot, that it's to do with a lack of opportunity or a lack of stuff for young people to do. But I also want to know what is going on in our communities, because it can't only be down to one factor. It can't only be down to a lack of opportunities. I'm sure that's a contributing factor. Mm-hmm. But also, what is going on? I mean, let's just really, really strip it back. Last week, I was down here. I came down to Burtby on an evening. You probably heard there was a stabbing.
Yeah.
On Blacker Road.
Yeah.
Now, when I speak to people and I'm down here on an evening, a lot of people that I speak to reference things like gang violence and drugs. Mm. And they'll say, yeah, these kids, these young people, and they're not kids, you know, they're teenagers. I think the particular person, one of them at least, was 19. So some of them are teenagers, some of them are a bit older than that. The conversation normally goes something along the lines of, yeah, these people are out of control. They're not like we used to be. And I know from my kind of parents' generation, my parents are, you know, like many of us, they came over as economic migrants. So they came to work, and they worked really, really hard. And their emphasis was on working and their children achieving. I don't know if that's still the case with the second, third generation, because I guess that, I'll be honest with you, you know, it's quite uncomfortable. But again, this is why I think these conversations are worth having. Pretty consistently, when I am following an incident with a knife attack or an incident with a firearm in Huddersfield, when I turn up and I speak to the neighbours, or I speak to people on the street, there's kind of three things that consistently seem to jump out. So one is, yeah, it was a younger guy. He was in his 20s. Mm. The second thing will be, it's a Pakistani guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the third thing will be, yeah, we think it was drug related.
Okay. Do you think the Pakistani community is falling apart in Huddersfield? Excuse me. Give us a call on 01484 817705. We're just going to go to some music and an advert break, and we'll be back after that. You can call us during that, and me and Babin will try and have a cup of coffee. You can have a cup of coffee. I'm going to have a lemon. Welcome back. We're talking about how Huddersfield has changed over time, and we've got Tariq on the line, so we'll have a little chat to Tariq and maybe get his opinion as well. Hi, Tariq, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for calling in. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the topic this morning, what we're chatting about. You've got
Mubin
as well here with me.
Hey, Tariq.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Well, I'm good, thank you.
Good, good.
Yeah, I think the general topic of how Huddersfield's changed over the last few years, it's quite remarkable how it's become from one of the favoured towns in the UK to live in to one now that has a real bad public image. But the public image isn't really baseless either, because people who live in Huddersfield see what's going on day to day, and in certain areas. I live in the Birkby area, which is used to be a very good integrated area, but now because of all the trouble and the shootings and all this drug warfare that's going on, it's a totally changed landscape. One of the things I'd say is that the trouble here is directly between people competing over illegal activities, and so far, touch wood, it seems to be mostly these people that have been affected and been injured or even killed in certain circumstances. But it's only a matter of time before other people that get involved who've got nothing to do with it. The biggest issue is it only takes one person to give 100 people a bad perception. So we are really on a tight wheel of a bad perception of the town, and it leaves you a bad feeling.
Yeah, Tariq, I really appreciate you calling up and sharing your perspective. I wonder, do you think a lot of people are quite reluctant to speak out about this stuff?
No, I don't think they are. People I know, you know, who live here do actually are honest about it. I don't think there's a reluctance. I think people are quite fed up, really. And want it to be sorted. And we know the police have got a tough job. The cuts by the central government on the policing has really, really affected all this. But what we do is we support the police. So if the police stop you, if the police question you a little bit more, so be it. It's in the best interest for everyone. The whites, the blacks, the Asians, it's in the best interest for our town, the community. And you've got to be a little bit tolerant. Maybe there's one or two policemen who do it in a manner which isn't appropriate. But again, they're probably going through some extra stress.
Yeah, I understand that. Tariq, you know, I'd be interested in your opinion as well. When I've been...
I think we've just lost...
Have we lost Tariq? I hope he calls back. I want to speak to Tariq.
he might be calling back. We'll just try him again. Is that Tariq?
Sorry, Rob.
We lost you for a second. Yeah. Sorry, Tariq. I was just saying I'd be interested in your perspective on... what ethnicity, really, because like, I've found it quite depressing. I'm second generation, my parents are Pakistani, and since I've been back quite often when I'm looking at these cases or I turn up on a crime scene, there seems to be unifying factors. So a lot of people will tell me it's a young man, they'll also tell me it's someone from a Pakistani background, and then they'll say, yeah, in their belief it's drug related. And I want to know, is that your experience, and if so, why?
I think that is generally my perception as well. I wouldn't say that it's 100% correct perception, because I don't know all the cases.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this is hearsay. A lot of the cases are Asians. That's because we live in an Asian background, so we hear about them. But I think there's quite a lot of black youngsters, young men, and quite a lot of white young men who are involved with it. And again, it's one of those things that, because there's probably slightly more Asians involved in it at the moment, they get the most of the publicity. And I mean, that's a little bit of the negative media impact that comes into all this as well, because of the Muslim, the Asian, the Pakistani, et cetera, categories that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. That gets highlighted a little bit more than the black, the young men, or the white, the young men who are doing it. But you've got to be honest, and you've got to tackle it within your own communities. You've got to be honest about it yourself. You can't hide behind the fact that other people are doing it. You've got to get the facts right and deal with them as they... come up.
Yeah, I see that. Tariq, why do you think it's actually happening? And particularly, like, I'm assuming, are you from a Pakistani background?
I am, yes.
Yeah,
I've lived in Huddersfield for nearly 45 years.
Yeah, and I mean, Tariq, I remember growing up in Huddersfield, and I remember, you know, I was saying earlier that I think everyone in Birtby, I grew up in Birtby, everyone was in each other's business. So whether you were, you know, hanging out with a particular crowd, or you were late home from school, or, you know, you were in a place where you shouldn't have been, it seemed to get back to your parents. Whereas I'm not sure if that's the case now, particularly if, you know, people are getting stabbed and shot at. It might sound like an old-fashioned kind of question, but like, where are the families? Where are the parents?
It's a 100% correct question to ask. Traditionally, same as your experience, the family culture and the fear of being caught and somebody telling you, parents, and the fear of your father, your mother, and what other people would say, would force you to comply with a lot of things or be very, very careful if you were doing something naughty. The family control structure is disintegrating, really, in the sense that I think we have less... I've got young boys as well. You have less control over them. But if I find out something that's wrong, I'll tackle it. But I think a lot of families are burying their heads in the sand and saying, look, we can't do anything about it. And they're stuck. Some of them are stuck in terms of what do we do? They're not listening to us. Should we go to the police? But we can't do that. They're our kids. It's a massive dilemma for families. I agree with what you're saying, that control structure has eroded, but a lot of these people are in very difficult positions.
Yeah, I think that's completely on point. In those scenarios, you know, if I don't know if people have come to you and said, look, what should we do with a situation in our families? Has that scenario happened? Have people come to you for advice?
Yeah. So, Mubin, can you just repeat that?
Yeah, of course. I was just saying, you know, the scenario you just highlighted, the idea that you've got families maybe who are worried about calling the police because they're thinking, you know, this is our son or it's our brother.
Yeah.
Have you witnessed those scenarios? Have people ever asked you for advice?
To be honest, I'd say very little, and it's very cloaked because they're very reluctant to talk about it. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to accept it and be open with people that I've got this issue to deal with. The other, and that boils down to a lot of communities, and I just won't say Pakistani or Asian. It's also the thing that, oh, how are the people going to judge us? You know, is it going to get around the community? Is it better just, you know, you've got all these stigmas attached to all this kind of scenario. So I think there might be a little bit of reluctance there. I'm not sure. It's a really tough question. How do these families get support and guidance to help them come through this situation? And the structures aren't out there.
Yeah, no, I see that. It's interesting, Derek, since I've been here, you know, I've been in like broadly in West Yorkshire, I've been in households where there are children, young men, I'm saying young, you know, in their 20s, 30s sometimes, where they have convictions for violent crime, or they have convictions relating to drug dealing, you know, like quite specific convictions, and it's all there. And yet when I speak to the families, quite often the conversation follows a pattern, and the conversation is like our boy wouldn't have done this. We're not those kinds of people.
Yeah.
And so there seems to be, I'd say it's an element of denial. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not engaging with what's in front of you. Your son's been sentenced. You were there for the trial. You saw the evidence. And you're turning around and saying, we're not those kinds of people. Like, why do you think there's that lack of engagement? Or do you, I mean, tell me if you think I'm being unfair.
No. I think the only thing comment I'd make on that, Mabeen, is, we can't paint everyone with the same brush as long as you accept that. But as a general thing, you're right. There is a reluctance to accept. But you grew up around here. You've grown up in an Asian family. And this isn't about Pakistanis, Indians, Hindus. We're all the same type of culture. When anything happens, we always think our kids are whiter than white. And it's everyone else out there who's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, and you're spot on. If you do not accept and deal with it, you're actually making the problem worse. So the first time you see something or you see some signs, whilst it's tough as a parent and you might think it'll create some friction at home, I think you've got to tackle it and be honest with you. If you're not honest with yourself, you're not going to be able to help your family and your kids. You're totally correct.
Have you seen that scenario played out? You know what I'm talking about, with friends, neighbours?
Yeah.
Tell me what happened.
Well, I'll give you an extreme scenario without mentioning any names. That a few years ago, there was an event that happened in Huddersfield where a shopkeeper got injured badly. And one of the guys who were involved with it, because there was a bungled robbery attempt, I knew his father, and his father says, no, it was the other boys, it wasn't my son. Yeah, it's that scenario there. And cutting a long story short, the reality was he was one of the key people who was doing it, caught on CCTV camera, wherever else he was caught. But the denial was there from day one, and as soon as the sentencing happened, there was no longer any discussion happening at all about it. It was just as though it never happened.
They just didn't want to acknowledge it happened.
Yeah, that was it. But it happened, and the son's in prison, etc., etc. The facts are there. Everyone knows about it. But it's just something like mentally, they weren't willing to accept that, yeah, he was one of the key players in the whole scenario.
Yeah, I can completely see that. Do you think there's a particular set of circumstances which means that as desis, we don't want to accept these things? I mean, I'm just putting it out there. I don't know the answer to that question, but do you think there is something specific with our communities?
The only thing specific I can put down is from the way you've been brought up, the way I've been brought up, from a young age, we are there. The family is everything. The family bonds are everything. It doesn't matter. Family takes precedence. So sometimes that is the overriding thing that maybe precedes everything else. So whatever else happens, it's irrelevant because the family is a key thing and you stick by. But sometimes that's your biggest strength can become your biggest weakness as well in certain scenarios. And this is one of them, I'd suggest, where it is a weakness.
Tariq, I really appreciate your call. Guesser, is there anything you want to pick up on?
Yeah, thank you very much, Tariq. Thanks for your time. I had a couple of other phone calls coming on in the background that we didn't take on air, but if you want to give us a call, if you think what Tariq is saying you agree with that, then let us know. I mean, if you've got other opinions, then please let us know. Thank you very much, Tariq, for your time and for calling in as well.
Thank you, Tariq.
All right, yes, Mubin, see you later.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
So, that was Tariq from Huddersfield talking about his perspective. Because the phone call was so important, we cut out the news, but we'll tell you what the news is a little later on as well. We'll talk about it. I'll try to be the news a little later.
You're going to do the news.
I'll do the news. Well, we took it out because I think it was very important not to cut that conversation short, mm-hmm. because somebody was talking about their experiences and talking about their opinion. Aapka kya khayal hai? Hamare jo bachche hain Huddersfield mein, wo kharab ho rahe hain. Huddersfield mein kya crime zyada hai? Violence zyada hai? Hame phone kijiyega 01484817705 pe ya WhatsApp kijiyega 07444202155 pe. Aap bataiye ke Huddersfield mein ye pichle 2 saal 3 saal se jo hai har dusre hafte gun violence, drug related crimes, knife crime jo ho rahi hai, iske bare mein aapki kya soch vichar hai? Kya aap us ilake mein rehte hain jahan pe ye violence ho rahi hai, ya aap kisi ko jante hain jo involve hain? ये आपकी क्या ख्याल है कि बच्चे हमारे खराब हो रहे हैं कि हम जो बूढ़े हैं वो खराब हो रहे हैं? हमें बताइएगा आपका क्या ख्याल है. 01484817705 हमारा व्हाट्सएप नंबर है. सो मुबीन अजर बीबीसी एशियन नेटवर्क पे काम करते हैं, लेकिन इन्होंने अपना बचपन जो है यहाँ बर्कवी में गुजारा है, तो वापस आए हैं हडिसविल में, देख रहे हैं कि हडिसविल में क्या चेंजेस आई हैं, क्या हुआ है, तो उसके बारे में हम आज बातचीत कर रहे हैं. बहुत अच्छा होगा अगर आप भी इसमें इन्वॉल्व हैं. जरूरी नहीं आप अपना नाम बताएं या बताएं कहाँ से बोल रहे हैं, लेकिन आपकी जो ओपिनियन है हमारे लिए बहुत अच्छी होगी, और हम जानना चाहते हैं कि आपकी क्या सोच है इसके बारे में.
बिल्कुल, और उर्दू में बात कर लेना. हमारी उर्दू इतनी अच्छी नहीं, पर मतलब गुजारा हो जाएगा.
हाँ जी, बिल्कुल. I'll tell you what, Mubeen's Punjabi is really good.
मेरी पंजाबी बिल्कुल ठीक है. पंजाबी तो बिल्कुल ठीक. पंजाबी चकाल कर लो जो तुसी चांदे हो, मतलब ठीक है.
ठीक है. और my Punjabi is horrible.
अच्छा, नहीं. So we can help each other. So my Punjabi is better than your Urdu, and your Urdu is better than my Punjabi.
So we've got three languages there. So yeah, we've got English, Punjabi and Urdu. So there's absolutely no excuse. Agar aap baatcheet karna chahe hamare saath, to zaroor phone in kijiyega. Mera naam Kaisar Mahmood hai. Mere guest aaj Mubeen Azhar hain, jo Huddersfield mein jo hai inke bachpan guzara hai. Abhi London mein kaam karte hain, BBC Asian Network mein kaam karte hain. To yahan pe hamare guest hain aur aisi masle mein baatcheet kar rahe hain ki हडिसफील्ड में क्या हो रहा है. और वैसे जो है ना, काफी चेंज आई है हडिसफील्ड में कि इतनी वायलेंस, हेट क्राइम, नाइफ क्राइम हमने यहाँ पे नहीं देखी थी. सो इसके पीछे वजह क्या है? अगर आपकी कोई ओपिनियन है इस बारे में तो हमें बताएं. Mubeen, what were your thoughts about Tariq talking about?
I think it was really brave and good of Tariq to call up and share his opinion, actually. And I'm not coming from this with a particular agenda. Like, I want to hear what people who live here have to say, and I think Tariq is qualified because he lives here. And I think the point about denial, that's certainly been my experience, but to hear it from him back that up, yeah. And I think it's quite brave of him to say in his opinion there needs to be more of these conversations. And I do think, you know, he said, you know, when I asked, and it's a really difficult question, but I said, is there something culturally that means that there's a higher level of denial? And I was just putting it out there, and I wasn't sure what he'd said. Some people might get offended, but he didn't get offended. He said, well, you know, we do tend to do the phrase he used is our kids are whiter than white.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's true sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can certainly tell you, you know, when I was younger, certainly the kids growing around me, everybody was afraid of their dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, everybody wanted, you know, didn't want anything to get back to their dad. And your mum protected you, you know.
Yeah.
And so if something happened, your mum knew about it, but she protected you by saying, you know, well, if your dad finds out, a bit Victorian, a bit like, you know, Victorian Britain, I suppose. Mm-hmm. If your dad finds out, that's it, you've had it. But at the same time, your mum used that as a power trip, you know. Well, I'm going to tell your dad.
I can completely relate.
So that was it, you know. So you did get it from both sides. But you didn't want anything to get back to your father. Do you think fathers have lost that position in society, of, I'm not talking about being authoritarian,
mm-hmm.
or somebody that's kind of rules with you know, an iron whip or whatever. But you know, what do you think? Well, we've got, I'll keep that thought to yourself.
Yeah,
we've got Asmaji on the phone. Asma, assalamu alaikum. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Asma.
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum, Asma. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm very well. Thank you. It's a really good topic, and I'm very concerned about this topic because in past 2-3 years, what happened in our community, it was actually worrying. After a death of a young guy in Huddersfield, there was another incident happened, I think, in January or February time, when a young boy hanged herself in a park because of drugs. So drugs are not only the issue in the household, it's at the workplace as well.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, word by word, we found out the place where that person was working, actually, it was kind of a drugs-related things happening. And if you don't sell that certain kind amount of drug and earn the money and give to that gang, so that was the pressure on that young boy at that time, and he killed himself.
So, Asmaji, what you're saying is that this young boy who hung himself in the park in Huddersfield, he did it because he was under pressure to sell a certain amount of drugs.
Exactly.
And in his workplace. And if he didn't sell them, he knew something horrible was going to happen to him. So
he decided to take his own life. Exactly. Right. It was the pressure that if you don't hand over a certain amount of money every month to sell the drugs, we will do this and that. So it was a horrible thing he could not tell to his mom, to his family, brothers, sisters, because it's embarrassing as well. Once you are in that kind of loop, in that circle, I don't know if you know it that it's a bad thing, or unknowingly you step in and friends with that kind of people.
Asma, it sounds like what you're saying and the story you're referencing, it sounds like this person, were they a young person?
It was 20, he was 24 years old.
He was 24, yeah. So it sounds like he was exploited.
Yeah.
Do you think he was, because when I hear these stories and what you're describing, it sounds like grooming, mm-hmm. actually. It sounds like people are being groomed and told, you must do this. This is how you're going to make money. Do you think that's a fair assessment? Was he groomed?
Yeah, probably, yeah. But my concern is the parents, actually. We need to teach the parents, when they're young boys, they get the part-time jobs anywhere. So we need to know that where they're working, who the people are around them, and what kind of jobs they're doing, even if it's a restaurant, part-time, anywhere.
Do you think some parents don't know where their kids are working and what they're up to?
Oh, definitely, yes.
They're not asking those questions. And Asma, you know,
they think end of the day they're bringing the money and they're spending weekends somewhere earning 50, 100 pounds. So that's fine. They're away from the house. Because sometimes these kids are problem, the teenagers and young men. So parents should ask those questions, because I used to be a single mom when mm-hmm. I have two teenagers, and I used to take them to their place where they're doing their part-time job, and I know the people, I have heard those people. So I think every mom, if they are single, there's no excuse, they should be put extra care in their kids.
So you just have to ask those questions. So you think
to look after them, where they're working, where they're going. Even if it's a sports center, just go and have a look. Who is the coach?
Yeah, ask those questions. Asma, I really appreciate you calling. You know, when you, at the start of your call, you said, I think you said...
The line is not clear, I don't know why.
I'm sorry, Asma, can you hear me now?
It's a very broken line, I can't hear you.
It's a broken line, can you hear me? I'm moving around, hopefully you can hear us.
Oh, I'm sorry, I just can't hear you, it's a very broken line.
Oh, no, okay, should we maybe try to call Asma back?
Okay.
Asma, if you call us back.
It's fine now.
It's fine. Brilliant.
It's fine now. Voice came back.
That's all right. So, Asma, I was just saying, when you first called, you said things changed after, I think you said, the death of a young man. Who were you referring to? Was it a particular case?
Yes, it was 2 years ago. I think it happened in Huddersfield. And the community, I mean, it's a load of pressure on the community, the moms. It's a very scared kind of incident happened. Oh, ye ho gaya from family ka young boy usne khud ko hang up kar diya. It was kind of a mystery. Did he hang up himself or somebody done something to him?
Kahan hua tha ye? Greenhead Park mein.
Oh, the line is broken again. Can't hear you.
Asma ji, ye kahan pe hua tha?
Well, I don't remember the name of the park. It's one of the parks in Huddersfield.
Right. Okay. एक सवाल आया है WhatsApp पे हमें. आप कह रहे थे कि हमें बच्चों से पूछना है कि वो कहाँ पे हैं, क्या कर रहे हैं. तो किसी ने सवाल पूछा है कि बेटियों के साथ भी यही करना चाहिए. Is it just the males in your in the family, or should we be just as vigilant with female children?
Exactly. Definitely. लेकिन हमारी कम्युनिटी का प्रॉब्लम यह है कि हम बेटियों पर ज्यादा तवज्जो देते हैं. वो कहाँ जा रही हैं, कहाँ आ रही हैं, और बेटों को कहते हैं ये तो लड़के हैं, कोई बात नहीं, देर से भी आगे फ्रेंड्स के साथ झूठ बोल के इधर उधर आ भी गए तो कोई बात नहीं, लड़के हैं, दे कैन गेट अवे विद एनीथिंग. तो फिर क्या होता है, ये प्रॉब्लम्स पैदा हो जाती हैं कम्युनिटी में, घरों में प्रॉब्लम्स पैदा होती हैं, फिर उन लड़कों की जिंदगियां खराब होती हैं, माँ बाप की. सो लड़कियों पर तो जो ऑलरेडी है, लेकिन वो होती है ऑलवेज, लेकिन लड़कों को हम छोड़ देते हैं.
राइट,
उन पे ज्यादा तवज्जो देनी चाहिए.
थैंक यू वेरी मच आसमा जी.
शुक्रिया जी, मेहरबानी. थैंक यू,
वेरी वेरी गुड थॉट्स देयर. आज मुझे जुकाम हुआ है जरा ज्यादा.
Oh, you can't speak. Oh, now you recover soon, Casper.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your call.
Okay,
Allah Hafiz.
That was Asma talking about the difference between boys and girls, and should we actually be paying the same sort of attention between boys and girls, or do boys get away with more? And because they get away with more, then they get into gangs or the drug scene or whatever it is. If you've got any thoughts of that, if you've got any children yourself that are teenagers, do you have any worries? Do you keep an eye on them? Do you take them to and from the gym, the classes, their after school activities, whatever it is, or to their friends' houses, or do you just say, well, you know what, is a lad, he'll be all right. We've got Shugufta from Halifax on the line. Let's see what Shugufta has to say. Assalamu alaikum, Shugufta ji.
Wa alaikum salam, kaise bhai, kaise hain?
Bas theek.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Aap bhi kaise hain? Theek hain?
Bilkul theek. Shukriya. Haan ji, Mubin hai hamara naam. Shukriya.
Haan, main sun rahi thi topic, to Asma ji ki bhi baatein sun rahi hain, to maine kaha chale
aapka aap kya sochte hain?
बहुत कुछ, क्योंकि हम तो जब यहाँ पे आए थे तो आई वॉज 11 ईयर ओल्ड. सो तब से लेके आप तो बहुत चेंजेस हो गई हैं, पर डिपेंड करता है कि आप जिस एनवायरनमेंट में रह रहे हैं वहाँ का माहौल कैसा है. मतलब आप देखें कि मतलब जब हम आए थे तो हम एक यूनिटी में रहते थे, ठीक है, अब भी कम्युनिटी में रहते हैं, ठीक है. कम्युनिटी का मतलब ये नहीं होता कि मतलब आप जो आपके आगे पीछे लोग रहते हैं आप उन पर नजर ना रखें और देखें कि वो कर क्या रहे हैं. उस वक्त लोग दिन रात करके मेहनत करते थे, ठीक है, किसी को नहीं पता होता था कि मतलब टीवी भी देखना है, ये करना है, वो करना है. तो आजकल जो है ना बहुत माहौल चेंज हो गया है इस लिहाज से कि जो कुछ आजकल मीडिया दिखाता है या बच्चे छोटे छोटे बच्चे घर में हम जो कुछ भी देखते हैं या बच्चों के साथ बैठ के देखते हैं तो हम तो ये समझते हैं कि ये जो कुछ हो रहा है ये ठीक हो रहा है, ठीक है.
शगुफ्ता जी, एक मैसेज आया है, सॉरी आपकी बात जो है काट कर रही है. एक मैसेज आया है जॉनी से. जॉनी कहता है, इट्स एन इजी वे टू मेक मनी नाउडेज, व्हाई वुड यू वर्क 50 आवर्स अ वीक टू अर्न £300 अ वीक व्हेन यू कैन मेक दैट इन एन आवर बाय सेलिंग ड्रग्स. young people want to have it easy, to live a luxury lifestyle, so I believe they do this for that reason. It's about having the best house, the best car, without putting the effort in. And also, he says, welcome, Mubin, to Huddersfield.
Thank you for the welcome at the end. It's very nice.
So, Shikufta ji, kya hamare bachche chahte hain ki aasan zindagi ho aur shortcuts jo hain istemal kar rahe hain?
Kaisar bhai, ye to depend karta hai ki aap jis mahol mein ya aap jahan pe reh rahe hain, wahan agar aapki family hai, jaise aap hain, aap dekhein ki aapki family mein aapke abbu har bande jab bhi the mehnat kar rahe the usi ke nakshe kadam pe aap chal rahe, theek hai? Agar families mein koi ek bura nikal aayega to jo family dusri hoti hai wo unka kaam banta hai ki bachcho ko ye sikhaya jaye ki ye dekhe ki ye zindagi nahi hai. जिंदगी ये नहीं है कि आपने ड्रग, तो आप अगर फर्क करें ड्रग्स सेल करेंगे तो जिसके बच्चों को दिए जाएंगे तो कल वो हमारे बच्चों पे तो उनका असर पड़ता है ना, क्योंकि उनके बच्चे हमारे बच्चे. अगर आप आज हमें इस टॉपिक पे बात करनी पड़ी है, वी आर कंसर्न बिकॉज आई गॉट बॉय एज वेल, आई गॉट टू गर्ल्स माशाल्लाह, एंड आई डोंट वांट एनीथिंग हैपनिंग टू माई चाइल्ड. इसीलिए कैसर भाई अब मेरी जाती जिंदगी भी जानते हैं कि हाउ एम आई डूइंग इट, आई एम अ सिंगल पेरेंट, और मैं सिंगल पेरेंट होने के नाते मुझे फिक्र रहती है, मेरे भाई है माशाल्लाह, मेरे अबू है, माय कम्युनिटी आर विद मी, बट वेयर आई एम लिविंग इट्स नाइस एरिया, बट स्टिल आई डू हैव अ कंसर्न फॉर अदर किड्स. जो लोग रहते हैं उनके बच्चों में के बारे में मुझे परेशानी होती है कि देखें कि माँ बाप मेहनत करते हैं, और कोई माँ बाप नहीं चाहता जिनके बच्चे ड्रग्स सेल करें उनके माँ बाप से पूछे, उनका जरा भी दिल नहीं करता, कोई माँ बाप भी नहीं कहेगा उनका बच्चा खराब निकले. और ये एनवायरमेंट है, आप लोग रह रहे हैं, आप बच्चों को सिखाते नहीं, आपको ये उनको ये नहीं कहते कि ये गलत रास्ता है. लाइफ में ये चीज होनी चाहिए मेरे भाई के बच्चों को सिखाया जाए कि अल्लाह ताला का जो फरमान है ये सही रास्ता ये है और गलत ये है. अब आप लोगों ने डिसाइड करना है कि गलत रास्ते पे चलना है उसका अंजाम क्या होने वाला है, और जो सही रास्ता उसका आखिर में अंजाम क्या होगा. फिर अगर वहां पे बच्चे अगर आपके पढ़ रहे हैं या कुछ दुनिया की थोड़ी बहुत सूझबूझ रखते हैं, तो नेवर गो इन रॉन्ग डायरेक्शन.
शगुफ्ता, ये मुझे बताएं, ये मुझे बताएं कि जो आपके मतलब आपके एक्सपीरियंस में जिनको बच्चे हैं जो ड्रग सेल करते हैं, डीलिंग करते हैं, उनके जो माँ बाप है वो जानते हैं कि क्या हो रहा है?
माँ बाप देखे, माँ बाप किसी हद तक माँ बाप जानते होते हैं, माँ बाप के बस की बात नहीं है. मैं कहती हूँ कि कोई माँ बाप ही ऐसे है, मैं अगर आप मुझे कहें आई विल नेवर से टू माई सन टू डू दिस. अगर ऐसा हो भी या अल्लाह ना करे तो बट टच वुड कि अगर लाइफ में ऐसा हो. अब पहली बात तो ये है कि मैं इतनी कॉन्सेंट्रेट कर रही हूँ कि मैं कहती हूँ कि मैं चाहती हूँ कि शुरू से जो जो लोग बच्चे इस चीज में जा रहे ना, थोड़ी सी उन्हें घर से सपोर्ट नहीं मिली. वन थिंग, एक तो माँ बाप थोड़ा बहुत वहां पे उनसे मिस्टेक ये हुई है कि बच्चों को जब छोटे बच्चे होते हैं तो इन्हें इनकी जो जरूरतें होती हैं थोड़े लिहाज तक इनकी जरूरतें पूरी करनी चाहिए, जो हर माँ बाप का फर्ज है.
शिकुफ्ता जी, जब 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 मैं ग्रो अप हो रहा था तो माई फादर ऑलवेज वर्कड, या he went to work early in the morning and he came back late at night. So I didn't spend a lot of time with my father, yeah? So, you know, he was there, he was providing, he was putting food on the table, he was making sure that I was looked after, but he wasn't there. And he was, I suppose, you know, doing his duties as a father. Aapka kya khayal hai? You know, our parents within whatever community, but particularly in the Asian community, are parents really not taking on their responsibilities because they're saying, you know what, educating my child is the role of the teacher. Providing food on the table, that's my job really. Sitting down and talking to my kids isn't my job. They've got mates and cousins and brothers and sisters to do that. Are they not really understanding and knowing their children because they're not spending time with their kids?
इट्स ट्रू कैसर भाई. पता है क्या, थोड़ा बहुत आपको आपके जो बच्चे होते हैं उनके साथ स्पेंड करना आज के दौर में बहुत लाजमी है. उस वक्त दौर डिफरेंट था. माय फादर वाज वर्किंग इन फैक्ट्री, ही वाज वर्किंग इन नेस्ले, सो ही वाज गोइंग 6 o'clock फ्रॉम होम एट नाइट टाइम, इन द मॉर्निंग 6 इज यूज्ड टू फिनिश. सो इट वाज ओनली माय मॉम, बट द एनवायरमेंट वाज दैट टाइम वी नेवर यूज्ड टू गो आउट. We stayed in the house. My father used to bring movies in the weekend, so we used to watch movie with him. So he used to give us a time that time as well. Aaj kal ke halaat jis tarah ja rahe hain, jis tarah log rehna cha rahe hain, iski wajah se ye sab kuch ho raha hai. Agar hum in cheezon pe gaur kare ki hamari demand kya, hum jeene ke liye hame kya chahiye, khana peena aur sona aur apna tan, apne kapde tan pe ho, ye nahi hai ki aapne Gucci ke kapde pehne, gaadi jo hai MG होनी चाहिए, ये चीजें हम लोग को तबाही की तरफ लेके जा रही है, जिनकी वजह से हमारे बच्चे जो खराब हो रहे हैं उसमें पेरेंट्स का थोड़ा बहुत हाथ है, इस लिहाज से कि इनकी जरूरतें नहीं पूरी जा रही। आप अब यहाँ पे एक मैं बात करूंगी कि आपको माशाल्लाह फोर ब्रदर्स, इनमें से मिडल वाला जो मेरा भाई है ना, हमेशा से उसका स्टाइल रहा है कि मैं परा, वो नहीं है अब तो सिक्योरिटी गार्ड है वो, तो जो है ना उसका लाइफ स्टाइल ये होता था कि उसकी मर्जी होती थी कि मुझे अच्छे से कपड़े, जिस माहौल में हम वो रह रहा था उस वक्त लोग बहुत खराब होते जा रहे थे उसकी उम्र के, तो मेरे माँ बाप ने भी कोशिश की है कि उसको टाइम दिया जाए। मेरी अम्मी हमेशा उसको बताती थी कि बेटा ये गलत रास्ता है, इस पे कभी भी नहीं चलना
वो चाहिए। आप माइंड ना कर रहे थे, मुझे बताएं वो क्या करता था।
माय ब्रदर यूज्ड टू हैंग अराउंड विद द यंगस्टर्स दैट वर बैड,
अच्छा लाइक द रॉन्ग क्राउड के साथ
अराउंड कर, इसलिए कि वहां जिस जगह पे हम लोग रहते थे वहां पे आउटस्कर्ट पे लोग ऐसे थे जो आते थे, क्योंकि यू कैन सी when they come the way they drive the cars, you know, एक वो क्या कहते हैं सांडे की तरह ऐसे गर्दे हिलाते, तो ये लोग क्या करते हैं, जो जिस लोग होते हैं या पढ़े लिखे होते हैं या जिन लोगों को समझ होती है कि लाइफ कैसे जी जाती है, वो लोग ऐसे नहीं करते। आप अपनी जबान में कहते इस तरह वो शुतर 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 जो लोग करते हैं ना, वो लोग हाई गलत होते हैं, चाहे वो इंसान समझे या ना समझे, वो तो उसकी अपनी तो उस वक्त होता था। फिर ये है कि मेरे भाई को मेरे अम्मी अबू ने उसका लाइफ स्टाइल जिस तरह उसने चाहा ना उसको दिया, इस लिहाज से कि तुम गलत की तरफ नहीं जाओ। अब माशाल्लाह उसके तीन बच्चे और आज वो कहता है कि सब ये मेरी अम्मी और मेरी फैमिली का सपोर्ट है, क्योंकि अगर चाहता तो मैं उस वक्त खराब हो सकता।
हाँ जी हाँ जी। शगुफ्ता, आपकी फैमिली में ऐसा लगता है कि मतलब बात होती है, कॉन्वर्सेशंस होती है?
होती है। अब मेरे बच्चे मतलब आपको 14 year old, माय बॉय इज 12, माय यंगर वन इज 7, तो बात करते हैं हम लोग, करते हैं क्यों नहीं करें, क्यों जब तक हम अपने बच्चों को ये नहीं सिखाएंगे कि ये रास्ता गलत है ये सही है, तो ये दे कांट डिसाइड।
नहीं बिल्कुल बिल्कुल, फिर ये बात
है, इतना मसलूम है,
बिल्कुल बिल्कुल, फिर ये मुझे बताएं
अपनी जी, कुछ लोग ऐसे हैं कि अपने बच्चों को नहीं सिखाते और उनका कसूर उनका भी नहीं है।
हाँ जी।
इस लिहाज से जिस माहौल में आप रह रहे हैं यहाँ पे हमें नहीं सिखाया जा रहा, हमने क्या सिखाया, हमने क्या सीखा था पाकिस्तान में, हम क्या सीखते थे, वो जो गेमें खेलते थे। अब कभी कभार मैं अपने बच्चों को सिखाती हूँ, कहती आई अम्मी आप ये लोग ये चीजें खेलते थे, मैंने कहा हम तो ये खेलते थे, हमें क्या पता था उधर क्या हो रहा है आसपास के गांव में क्या होता है या कुछ नहीं होता। ये चीजें होती हैं कि जिस माहौल में आप रहते हैं आपके बच्चे वहां पर क्या सीखते हैं या किस माहौल में बैठ रहे हैं या इन लोगों किससे इन्वॉल्व हो रहे हैं। अगर अच्छे लोगों में उनको बिठाया जाएगा, अच्छे स्कूलों में पढ़ाया जाएगा, उनके नजर रखी जाएगी कि किस जगह जाते हैं, किस माहौल से वो या किस लोगों के साथ उठते बैठते हैं, वो लोग करते क्या हैं, तो तब जाके आप अपने बच्चों को कुछ सिखा सके। अगर माँ बाप खुद घर से नहीं निकलेंगे, जैसे अब रेडियो पे नहीं आके वो बोलते, क्यों रेडियो आपको काट के खाता है, आप कैसर भाई इतना कुछ मेहनत करते हैं इतने साल से, सिंस डे वन दे बीन डूइंग दिस रेडियो, हमेशा मैं आती रहती हूँ, हर कन्वर्सेशन में हिस्सा लेती हूँ, इसलिए कि ये हमें एक प्लेटफॉर्म दिया गया है जहाँ पे हम अपनी आवाज लोगों को
बात कर सकते हैं। हाँ जी।
बात करें कि ये आप जिस एनवायरनमेंट में रह रहे हैं इससे अगर हो सके तो मूव आउट, ट्राई टू टीच योर किड्स कि लाइफ इस तरह नहीं जी जाती, ये जिंदगी कोई नहीं है, दो दिन की जिंदगी आखिर की जो जिंदगी है उसमें आप लोग को पता चलेगा उसमें क्या आता है, नमाज रोजा जो हम अपने आप मुझे ये बताइए कि जितने लोग यहाँ पे सुन रहे हैं उनके बच्चे कितने नमाज रोजा करते हैं, अगर माँ बाप खुद नहीं करते, सोए रहते हैं 2 बजे तक उठते नहीं है, तो उनको क्या पता लगेगा कि उनके नेक्स्ट डोर नेबर में कोई ड्रग्स सेल कर रहा है या वहाँ पे क्या चीजें हो रही हैं।
थैंक यू वेरी मच।
जब आप सुबह उठ,
बहुत बहुत शुक्रिया गुप्ता जी, यू नो आपने आपने जो है बताया आपकी ओपिनियंस वगैरह।
एक और मैं सवाल पूछ लूं या एक और
कॉल आ रही
है? एक और सवाल शगुफ्ता बाजी, आप ये कर रहे थे बात कि घर में बात होनी चाहिए, आप ये भी आपको ये भी पता है, मतलब ये आपकी एक्सपीरियंस भी है कि कोई लोग है जो उनके घर में जो लड़के हैं उनकी एजुकेशन भी नहीं है, वो काम भी नहीं करते, लेकिन जब वो घर में आते हैं रोलेक्स की वॉच पहनी होती है, वो मर्सिडीज ड्राइव करते हैं, उनके माँ बाप जो है वो उनको सवाल पूछते हैं?
पूछते नहीं, फिर माँ बाप को इतना देखे मेरे भाई, अगर नहीं पूछेंगे ठीक है, फॉर एग्जाम्पल माँ बाप ने इस दुनिया से चले जाना है तो पीछे उन बच्चों का क्या होगा, अगर अगर घर में बैठ के माँ बाप अपने बच्चों से नहीं पूछेंगे कि ये पैसा कहाँ से आता है, फिर माँ बाप
तो फिर वो क्यों नहीं पूछते,
फिर क्योंकि फिर माँ बाप का, मैं फिर यही कहूंगी एक तो फिर दो बातें हो सकती है, एक माँ बाप को खुद को लक्जरी चाहिए ठीक है, So they don't want to say because they're living jis tarah wo chahte lifestyle usse nahi karte. Dusra baat ye ki bacche sunte nahi. There's two options. Iske alawa teesra option to ho nahi sakta.
Hanji,
thank you very much.
Mehrbani.
Shugufta ji, thank you very much. That was Shugufta on the line. Are you a young person? We'd like to hear from a young person. Do you drive around with loud music and black tinted out windows in your car? And do you think, you know why? What's the world coming to? Why do we get blamed for everything? We'd love to hear from you. 01484 817705. Are you a parent? Are you a parent that, you know, is quite happy not to ask questions from your children about why they're wearing their Rolex? What's the Ferrari doing outside when the house that they're living in, the roof is leaking and you don't know what job your kids are doing? However, you're quite happy to, you know, accept the lift in the new Mercedes without asking the question. We've got Aksa on next. Hi, Aksa. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. Hi, Mubeen. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum, Aksa. I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, alhamdulillah.
Good, good.
Achha, aap log baat kar rahe hain drugs ke upar, itni negative things ke baat baat ho rahi hai, lekin I would say ke Huddersfield has changed, Berkby has changed in a very positive way. As mere life ke early days I spent in Berkby, then we moved to Pakistan, and then again like 15, 20 years ago, after main Pakistan se dobara, idhar yahan par dobara aayi, main Berkby mein settled down hui, and I used to go to Huddersfield Uni. I've seen from, you see, from 93-94 time, 1994 time, and then 2009 or 8 mein dobara jab main yahan par aayi, so maine itna drastic change dekha in a way, in a very positive way, that Huddersfield Uni has been changed, the area has been changed. Aap agar Blacker Road ki baat karein, a particular area, itna zyada change hua in a way ki logon ne chote chote businesses se kahan par wo le gaye usko business ko, aur unko itne opportunities mile that they tried to change their lives, like in a very very positive way. Kis chote business se bade business pe wo move hue, agar aap dekh lein ki ek wahan par choti shop thi, उन्होंने वहां से बड़े बिजनेस उन्होंने डेवलप किए. अगेन सिर्फ ब्लैक रोड की बात नहीं करूंगी, जैसे बहुत बड़े यहां पर चेन स्टोर्स भी हैं जो कि एक बाप ने बनाए थे, उसके आगे बच्चों को इनहेरिटेड मिले, एंड दे ट्राई टू मेक द मनी इन अ वे कि जब वो एक स्टोर से उन्होंने दूसरे स्टोर में, तीसरे स्टोर में उनको चेंज किया. बहुत पॉजिटिव बात है. पाकिस्तानी लोगों ने बहुत मेहनत की है यहाँ पे बर्कबी में, सिर्फ अगर बात करी मैं, और इसके बाद से जब बाहर निकले, अगर मैं अपनी फैमिली से बात करूं कि बहुत सारे लोग यहाँ पर ऐसे आए थे जो सिर्फ एजुकेटेड थे, पाकिस्तान से एक दो मास्टर्स लेके आए थे यहाँ पर आके, जब वो सेटल डाउन हुए, आई हैव सीन देम ग्रोइंग, आई हैव सीन देम फ्रॉम 3-bedroom houses to moving to 14-bedroom houses. I've seen them by struggling.
Aksaji, are people, parents, concentrating more on their businesses and making those successful and not maybe concentrating on their children?
No, Kesar, you can't say this. I'm the real example of myself, that I was educated from Pakistan. मैंने यहाँ पर education की, मैं यहाँ पर आकर खराब हो सकती थी, मैं यहाँ पर लड़कियों के साथ बाहर घूम सकती थी, लड़कों के साथ घूम सकती थी. But no, my parents was really concerned. My uncle aunties were really concerned. They put time on me. They try to give us entertainment in a certain way. They try to take us to different, you know, like shopping, maybe cinema, movies and stuff like that in a certain way. Hamare pe concentration kiya gaya ke bacche aaye hain padhenge, bachon ko aage kuch banna hai. My brother, my other cousins and my I would say my uncle who came to this country like in 90s, if I see him now, he's growing, mashallah, he's totally
changed. अक्सर आपकी एक्सपीरियंस जो है बहुत अच्छी है, पर ये बात है कि जो ये वायलेंस जो हो रहा है, स्टैबिंग्स और शूटिंग्स जो हो रहे हैं, ये हम मतलब डिनाई तो नहीं ना कर सकते. ये न्यूज में आता है, कन्विक्शंस होते हैं कोर्ट में, तो ये मुझे बताएं कि वो सब जो है वायलेंस, वो क्या हो रहा है, इसकी राइज के बारे में आप क्या कहेंगे?
वो राइज आप ये देखें कि वो अगेन वो शॉर्टकट्स हैं कि आपकी लाइफ में अगर आप शॉर्टकट्स लेते हैं तो आपको फौरन से रिजल्ट, हमें वो बाय द एंड ऑफ द कयामत के दिन ही पता चल रहा है, वो हमें पता चल रहा है अभी से, हमें हमारे सामने आ जाता है कि हमने जब वो चीजें इन अ रॉन्ग वे हम लेना शुरू कर देते हैं, शॉर्टकट्स लेना शुरू कर देते हैं लाइफ में, वो चीजें डिवेल्प होना शुरू हो जाती हैं फ्रॉम वेरी वेरी लिटिल पॉइंट. हम अपने घर से देखें कि बच्चा अगर वो चोरी कर रहा है तो हम उसको वाई नॉट वी टेक हिम stand on that point. Hum usko wahan pe kyun na point out karein ki bacha aapne jury kyun ki thi? Either wo 10 pence ki hai, wo 1 pound ki hai ya 100 pounds ki hai. So wo ghar se cheezein shuru hoti hain. Ab wo bacha jab wo aapne jaise example di ki Rolex ki watch laga ke aa raha hai, Mercedes mein ghoom raha hai. So why not parents ask him ki aapne ye kya kiya? And this is not about the boys. Yahan par ladkiyan bhi utna hi shamil hoti hain drugs mein ki wo apne boyfriend ko bhi support kar rahi hoti hai, apne brother ko bhi support kar rahi hoti hai. And I've seen those girls.
Achha.
Yes. This is. I have seen one or two girls. They are, one is supporting her boyfriend, one is supporting her brother. So wo us cheezon mein shamil hoti hai. And parents know these things. Why don't they point out? Because wo samajhte hain bachche ghar to aa rahe hain. Chalo theek hai. Agar sara galat kaam karke ghar to aa rahe hain, hamari nazron ke samne hai. So this is bad thing. Tell them. कि अगर ये इसका अगर आज इसका आप लोगों को कोई सजा नहीं मिल रही, पनिशमेंट नहीं है, मे बी अदर वीक, मे बी आफ्टर अ मंथ. सो आपको चेक एंड बैलेंस आपके घर से शुरू होता है. सो पेरेंट्स अभी वो जैसे आसमा जी ने कॉल किया एंड शी टोल्ड द गाय हंग हिमसेल्फ इन नॉर्मन पार्क. अब वो क्यों उसको इसके पीछे बहुत सारी रीजन होंगी क्योंकि ही कांट गेट एन एस्केप फ्रॉम दैट ड्रग्स कंपनी. अब वहां से वो नहीं एस्केप ले पा रहा और उसको उसके ऊपर सोसाइटी का भी प्रेशर है, वो गलत काम भी कर रहा है. सो एंड ऑफ द डे उसने अपने आप को हैंग कर लिया एंड काम खत्म हो गया. सो दिस इज नॉट द वन स्टोरी.
हाँ जी. पर अक्सर ये मुझे बताया कि आपने बोला है ना कि ये चेक्स एंड बैलेंसेस होनी चाहिए. जो घर है जिसमें ये चेक्स एंड बैलेंसेस नहीं हो रही, क्यों नहीं हो रही? जो वो पेरेंट्स है, जो सिस्टर्स है, जो भी है, मतलब व्हाई आर दे आस्किंग दोस क्वेश्चंस? ये मुझे बताएं.
They, like I said, they just telling them or maybe pampering themselves that our kids are coming home. End of the day, jo chara galat kaam karke aa rahe hain, drugs kar rahe hain, but they are coming to home. Hame mil rahe hain, hamare saath sara kuch acha hai. So they're not telling them. Wo unko pata hai parents ko ki hamara. Aur aap ye dekhen ki beti kharab ho ya beta kharab ho, sabse pehle maa ko hi pata chalta hai. Aapne बच्चे को पैदा किया है, आप बच्चे की हर चीज से नोटिस कर सकते हैं बच्चे को कि आपने बच्चा आपका गलत काम पे जा रहा है, अच्छे काम पे जा रहा है. आप हैंग आउट करके बाहर से आ रहे हैं या आप ग्रुप स्टडी करके आ रहे हैं तो माँ कैन टेल, द मदर कैन टेल कि आप बच्चा मेरा किस तरफ जा रहा है. सो मदर नोज, डैड्स नोज, लेकिन वो उस चीज को पॉइंट आउट इसलिए नहीं कर पाते हैं कि आजकल हम अपने बच्चों से बहुत ज्यादा डरते हैं. हम ये कहते हैं कि हमारा बच्चा हमारे आगे नहीं बोल रहा, बड़ी अच्छी बात है, लेकिन बाहर जाके जो मर्जी कर रहा है, वी आर नॉट कंसर्न्ड. सो पेरेंट्स, अगेन आई वुड से कि पेरेंट्स बहुत ज्यादा इस चीज में इन्वॉल्व हैं और वो अपने पेरेंट्स बच्चों को इसलिए नहीं बताते हैं कि हमारे आगे नहीं बोलेंगे, हमारे बच्चे हम नहीं बोल रहे, दैट्स फाइन. सो पेरेंट्स का इसमें बहुत ज्यादा कसूर है. मैं कहूंगी हम ये कभी नहीं कहेंगे कि बच्चे ज्यादा हैं. हाँ, पेरेंट्स बाहर नहीं जाते आपके साथ, दे नॉट हैंगिंग अराउंड विद यू, दे डोंट नो योर कंपनी, द बैकग्राउंड जो आपके साथ जा रहा है, आप उससे सब ग्रो हो रहे हैं, दे डोंट नो. बट एंड ऑफ द डे व्हेन दे कम टू नो, दे डोंट डू एनीथिंग.
मतलब वो जानते हैं,
जानते हैं वो आपके फर्स्ट स्टेप से आपके पेरेंट्स आपको जानते हैं व्हाट यू गोन अबाउट, लेकिन वो उनको नहीं बोलते हैं. ये पेरेंट्स का कसूर है. बहुत सारे पेरेंट्स अपने बेटों को, बच्चों को इतना लीवरेज दे देते हैं कि वो गलत काम करें.
शुक्रिया.
थैंक यू वेरी मच.
थैंक यू सो मच.
दैट्स यू नो अ वेरी थॉटफुल गिविंग सम पॉजिटिव डिस्क्रिप्शन एज़ वेल.
बहुत सारे ड्रग्स की बात हो रही है, लेकिन आई डोंट वांट, आप ये देखें कि आपने पॉजिटिव क्या किया है. अपने थोड़ा सा उस चीज को भी लेकर चलें कि आप बहुत सारे, अब सिर्फ रेडियो संगम की बात करें, एक मंथ का लाइसेंस होता था इनके पास. दे हैव डेवलप्ड, दे हैव गिव द पॉजिटिव इमेज ऑफ कम्युनिटी कि 5 साल का उनको मिला, उनको परमानेंट रेडियो का मिला. टॉक अबाउट दोस थिंग्स एज वेल. मुझे बहुत ज्यादा बुरा लग रहा है कि मैं बर्थडे में चली हूँ और मैं बर्थडे के बारे में.
नहीं, शुक्रिया आपने.
शुक्रिया. देयर इज लॉट्स ऑफ कॉल्स वेटिंग, लेट्स गेट देम ऑन. थैंक यू वेरी मच अक्सा जी. लेट्स मूव ऑन टू दिस कॉल. हेलो
जी, अस्सलाम वालेकुम.
वालेकुम सलाम. हु आर वी स्पीकिंग टू?
जी, मुझे ऑन एयर ना लेके जाना प्लीज. ऑन एयर ना लेके,
ऑन एयर ना लेके जाए. चलो ठीक है, एक मिनट. Somebody who didn't want to go on air. देखे, अगर आप जो है फोन करेंगे तो हम आपको ऑन एयर ही लेके जाएंगे, क्योंकि इट्स अ क्वेश्चन दैट वी वांट टू आस्क यू. सो इफ यू डोंट वांट टू गो ऑन एयर, प्लीज डोंट कॉल इन फॉर द मोमेंट. हेलो, अस्सलाम वालेकुम.
वालेकुम सलाम, इट्स हनीफ हियर, कॉल फॉर द स्पोर्ट्स शो. हाउ आर यू डूइंग?
हेलो हनीफ.
वालेकुम हनीफ, हाउ आर यू डूइंग? यू आर
यू ऑन एयर हनीफ. And you've got Mobin as well, and myself. You've got an opinion on what's going on in Huddersfield? Are you from Huddersfield?
Yeah, I am from Huddersfield. I was born and raised in Crossnamore in Huddersfield. So,
right.
I know it well.
Okay.
Tell me about life in Crossnamore.
For me, it was good. Brilliant. I was a kid who loved playing out with friends and family. My co-host, Wajid, he was born in the same area. That's where we met when we were very young.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed sports. The opportunity now for the youth in terms of sports is a lot greater than what it was in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up. You know, a lot of people are coming on air and talking, giving their own personal views, and there's a lot of negativity. And I would say is if you got young children into sports at a young age, it will help them later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
Sports is proven in terms of developing skills for young people, and as they go through the education system, it helps them do that through leadership skills, self-esteem, self-confidence, team working skills, and it also allows parents and guardians to come out of their homes, mix with other people from different cultures and backgrounds, and break down barriers. That's what sport does. And it would be nice to see our people support, you know, a lot more British talent, especially the Asian talent out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's an Olympic boxer in Leeds called Keshish Fark. Not many mm-hmm. people probably have heard of him.
Do you want to see more support for people like that?
I want to see more support. I want our people to get more involved. I'm a football referee. I don't see many Asians playing the game. Mm. And I'm a handful of referees that are Asian.
Sure.
It'd be nice if they got out.
Hanif, what did you make of what Aksar was saying? I don't know if you heard Aksar was on just before you. And one of the things Aksar said was she feels that parents sometimes can be complicit because they're not asking particular questions. And, you know, she said she knows of families where sisters and moms, fathers, they know what's going on. And so in I completely take your point about, you know, sports and taking people in a particular direction. But if we have got scenarios and we know, because, you know, we can all read the papers, we know there's convictions. If there are families and they're not asking those questions, why do you think that's not happening?
The money. It depends. If you're making a lot of money, you're not going to say anything. Maybe some parents are, they don't want to discuss it because they're ashamed of it, or they just think they'll just brush it under the carpet.
Or they're enjoying the fruits of labour.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I know loads of young men that are earning a lot of money, and they've got the nicest cars, the nicest clothes, the nicest watches, and you just think to yourself, you know, what's going on? Wrong is wrong at the end of the day. However you want to mask it, however you want to paint it, if you're doing something wrong, then eventually it will catch up to you, and then it's your parents' fault for not telling you. It just depends on your upbringing, really. You know, as a kid.
And if let me tell you a very, very short story. I was working as a deputy head teacher in a school in Bradford. A family had moved in from London that hadn't got many contacts in the north of England, and their eldest daughter wanted to basically get married to someone. And so this family, because of my position within the school, said, would you come with us to the house so that we can get to know this other family and, you know, go out for a meal? I reluctantly, at first I said no, and then I reluctantly said yes, and I went across. And one of the questions I asked this family, who lived in a lovely house, lovely food put on the table in front of us, I said, oh, what is it that your son does? And the answer was, well, it doesn't matter what he does, but what we can say is he brings home £5,000 a week, and the daughter of these people, she'll be very, very happy, and thank goodness he hasn't been caught yet, and he probably won't because he's very clever. What do you think about that? Parents who are quite happy for their children to be dealing in drugs because they're quite happy to buy the house next door or the house across the street or another house, and they're quite happy because they've lived a difficult life themselves, working maybe in factories or whatever, and now they think, you know what, it doesn't matter, our son will go to prison for a couple of years, but you know what? It's worth £100,000. What do you think about that?
It's sad. It's sad. They're not willing to work hard and educate themselves. It's sad, but it happens a lot. It's not. You've seen it. I've seen it.
How much have you seen?
A lot.
You've said you've seen it. Are there any examples?
Yeah, absolutely.
What have you come across? I mean, don't mention any names.
When I was at the University of Huddersfield, some of the lads that were there, not on my particular course, but, you just look at what they were driving. It's like, wow, £25,000 car, and you're 19 years old. Yeah, your parents are hardworking individuals, but I don't see them getting taking a mortgage out to buy that car for you. Mm-hmm. But it was just one of them things. You just say, dude, you're going the wrong way about it. That's your choice. It's not something that I would do, but that's purely because...
It's up to... Hanif, can I ask you, again, obviously, without mentioning names, Cross the Moor is somewhere I've been spending quite a bit of time, and that's because I'm following stories, and there have been recently shootings in Cross the Moor, Walpole Road, that kind of area. And it feels to me that as well as Birtby, Lockwood, Cross the Moor has become kind of linked and it's become synonymous with violence and with dealing. And when I speak to people in those areas, they tell me those stories. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's true?
I'm not there anymore, but when I was there, it wasn't so bad. I think in every area you go, there's good and bad wherever you go. That probably is the shootings. I know which particular shooting you're talking about. It did happen. Why it happened, I don't know. Maybe it was a gang culture thing, or maybe two people fell out as a result of something and they decided to take it further. It has happened, and I know where it's happened, but I don't exactly know why it's happened. It's sad to see that this is the path that people are going down, but you're just seeing it. It happens in London. It's just coming all the way up north now. And as a result of that, you're seeing these young men, well, a lot of young men, I would say, and they're just going to extremes. They fall out on social media. They start shooting themselves or knifing each other rather than, being adult about and talking about things. Wrong thing to the wrong person.
You're saying an if it's coming up north. So do you think this is something? I'm assuming you're talking about is issues in London centric and the areas in London where we've heard a lot about knife crime and the increase of knife crime. Do you think what's happening down in the south has had an influence up here in the north?
It's definitely had an impact because it's not only knife crime; it's drugs as well. There was a documentary on drugs and violence, and where you're getting these young men who come up north, they go to particular areas just to sell drugs for a few months and then they just pack up and leave. And that's what they're doing in drones across the country to make more money. So that's having an impact.
Us poor innocent, naive people in the north, we don't know any better. All these horrible people from the south travel up north, sell their drugs to us, get us addicted, and then, we're left hanging there.
No, I would have blamed them, but ultimately
it sounds as if you're blaming
happening.
Them.
I would have blamed them, but ultimately, if you don't know what's right, you don't know what's wrong, or if it's easier to kill someone just for retribution or to make easy money. If you can make easy money, and a lot of young people are looking to make easy money because they want the best things. A lot. You have to ask yourself why are young people selling drugs? Because they want to buy the best things at a young age. They want the best bags, the best cars, the best clothes, the best jewelry. Why? It's because it's easy to do.
Hanif, can I ask you, because I really appreciate you sharing your perspective. When I referenced Cross the Moor, I honestly wasn't referencing a specific incident. It was just over the past few months. But if we're looking across the moor or Birtby or any of these areas, it sounds to me like, you reference university and it sounds like it's kind of known. You could say it's a badly kept secret that that certain individuals...
Not a badly kept secret at all. Everybody knows.
So if everyone... So this is my point then. If everyone knows and you've got boys driving around who are 19, 20 years old and as you said, they've got 25 grand cars and the family hasn't got that income, then my question is that it's a natural question. Why is no one asking that question?
They are. They are asking that question.
Who's asking the question? So not at home. So who's asking the question? You mean all the neighbours are asking?
Neighbours are probably asking. I'd say mosques are asking.
Are they really? I don't want to be controversial, but are the mosques asking these questions?
They're probably not asking directly towards one particular family, but they do raise it. I've been to a mosque where they're telling parents, like, look, why, you know, what are your kids doing? Why are they out on the streets late at night? I've been to mosques that do that. You know, they don't, you know,